I've been thinking a lot about the first hymn in Singing the Living Tradition today. Number one. May nothing evil cross this door, and may ill fortune never pry about these windows. May the roar and rain go by. It's a lovely lilting dance, welcoming people in. The fourth verse says, with laughter drown the raucous shout, and though these sheltering walls are thin, may they be strong to keep hate out and hold love in. Now, I've been thinking a lot about them because of these, dare I say, for the millionth time, these unprecedented times that we are in. And I'm of two minds about the sentiment. The part that makes me anxious is the supposition that our congregations are bunkers. There is in these lyrics a sense of intentional isolation, maybe a little protectionism. And there is in these words an understanding of invitation into a community of belonging, a place of safety, of blessing, of warmth and comfort, of sacredness, a place of trust, which is perhaps the single most important thing we need right now, a community of people we trust in a nation that is sowing the seeds of suspicion. This hymn reminds us that our congregations can be those strong foundations upon which we build our spiritual and ethical and moral cores, where we strengthen our relationships and connections, where we hone our skills for nurturance and activism and prophetic witness, where we reconnect and heal. And God knows we need this strong foundation more than ever. I don't need to tell you that we are on fire, and the fire is hateful and destructive and chaotic. And it doesn't look like many of the institutions we relied on in the past to put out the fires are able or willing to do so. We are the firefighters, small bands of volunteers in small and large communities fulfilling Margaret Mead's assertion to never doubt that a small group of thoughtful, committed citizens can change the world, because indeed it's the only thing that ever has. So what does it mean to be a strong foundation for this unbelievable moment? And more importantly, how do we get there? We start with what I've begun thinking of as institutional adulting. Getting your house in order so you can focus on what's coming. Now, individual adulting seems to be how I'm handling things. So I'm making the doctor's appointments and making sure my will and beneficiaries are up to date and getting rid of the things I don't need, right? But we know we can do this on a congregational level as well. For some congregation, it means getting the bylaws and policies in order. For others, it may mean settling some outstanding conflicts. Others still have some covenant work to do. For you, it's finally calling a minister. Now, this is a pretty foundational step for a grown-up congregation. You're what, about 32, 33 years old? Is that right? And you've gone from a glimmer in your founder's eyes to a young, emerging, energetic congregation through all the bumps and the bruises and the struggles that growing into yourselves means. And you've proven yourself to be a congregation that can sustain a long-term ministry. Calling a minister, especially one as committed and capable and visionary as the Reverend Alice King, means you've grown up and grown into yourselves. And more, it means that Reverend Alice becomes more than a staff member hired by the board. It means that you, the whole congregation, gets to affirm and support Reverend Alice's leadership. It's a deepening of relationship, a deepening of ministry, and all of that firms up your foundation. It also means you're not questioning whether this is the year that Reverend Alice or the board ends the relationship. Instead, it means you collectively affirm this relationship. And it's part of your mission work too. Reverend Alice's contract would be one less distraction from the other work that's ahead of you as you kindle the flame of love and justice, nurture healing for yourselves and our world. And to be fair, calling a minister is where the real deep work begins for you and for Reverend Alice. To use a different sort of metaphor, this means you're not just renting an apartment, you're buying a house. You're making an investment, hopefully a long-term one. You're not signing a lease, you're signing a mortgage. And with that comes the joys of being able to plant whatever you like in your garden and paint the walls whatever color suits you and putting nails in the wall wherever you damn well please and knock down a wall if it's no longer useful or even put on an addition. Of course, owning a house also means you're in charge of all the lawn care and the decorating and the plumbing and the repairs and the pest control and all the other things landlords take care of. In congregational terms, making that investment means you can dig into some of the deeper projects, consider deeper questions that arise from your mission, take on long-term strategic goals and know that your minister is invested in those goals too and is making commitments to those longer-term issues. It means giving and receiving a deeper level of trust and support, knowing that your minister isn't on the periphery of the congregation fulfilling ministerial duties, but is a true partner in the work. But it also means working on relationships and being willing to be in deep, trust-filled covenant with one another, to love one another, to treat each other well, to affirm each other's roles and responsibilities, and even wrestle with questions of authority and what those responsibilities are. My hunch is, after you call Reverend Alice, things won't seem to change a lot on the surface. She'll do still a lot of what she's been doing with you, from worship to pastoral care to offering guidance and wisdom, and maybe a recipe for pancakes. Things won't seem different, but they will feel different. It's like how you can be in a long-term relationship with someone, and somehow a couple of I do's in front of a minister or a justice shouldn't change anything, but somehow it does. And yes, you go back to your same home and your same jobs and your same lives and your same relationship, but it's feeling different because you've committed to a deeper level of trust. Now, to be clear, a call is not a marriage, and I almost didn't include that example, except the only other similar example I could come up with is ordination. And as far as I know, there are only two of us in the room right now that have been through that, me and Reverend Alice. But a lot more of you have been through marriage, so yeah, okay. It's not a marriage, and it's not a mortgage. But it is a commitment. It is a covenant on a much larger scale than either of those things because it involves all of you. And thus it means you have to tend these relationships, this covenant. It won't always be easy. Few really good things ever are. This investment in your congregation's foundation and a deeper covenant with Reverend Alice is a change. And we all know how much we love change. Or I should say we love the idea of change, but we hate having to change or be the change. Yet, as author and prophet Octavia Butler wrote, all that you touch, you change. All that you change, changes you. The only lasting truth is change. So you can either be in charge of a change or a change can happen to you. Calling Reverend Alice is a change, but one that will say we have a strong foundation. We know who we are and who we can trust. We have a partner in our work to put love at the center. We are a force for good in the world. Not calling Reverend Alice means other things may change. Some things you may not expect. But when you say yes to this, yes, we'll get out of our own way. We'll stop letting the hows and the nostalgia and the fear keep us from saying yes. When we start affirming yes and living into yes, then there is passion and momentum and a firm foundation on which to build. Of course, saying yes doesn't mean you know exactly what's going to happen, but it does mean your commitment affirms that this is who you want to be in community. This is who we want to be known for. This is the work we are called to do. We Unitarian Universalists are a people of yes. We don't have to have all the answers because no one can. But we know that the journey matters. We know that our experience and observances matter. We know that ours is a living tradition. Is that so? Right on the hymnal song, singing the living tradition. We know that how we build our institutions matters. How we proclaim our faith matters. How we spread our good news matters. How we fight tyranny and hate matters. And the only way we can do that is by getting our houses in order and making sure we have a firm foundation to support us. Honoring your history is part of that. Developing your mission and vision is part of that. Choosing the institution over the building is part of that. And calling a settled minister, calling Reverend Alice, is part of that. Doing this piece of institutional adulting means you can say more emphatically that you are ready for the work ahead. You are ready to live out your mission, that you are fitted for this day, that you know you're the ones that we've been waiting for, that your foundation is strong and the fire of your commitment burns true, and your faith is strong, and you will not just withstand the battering of the storm, you will be part of putting out the fire and saving each other. We have tough times facing us, but your foundation can be strong. And this call to bring Reverend Alice on as your settled minister, but this call of our faith is yours to make manifest. Amen.